Folks, it is 7:12. My impression is that we have quorum, so I'm calling this meeting to order. Hopefully, Joanne Lark will be here shortly. And as we take roll, we will find out if we have a quorum. Teresa Allen.
We have a secretary that normally takes the roll call.
Yeah.
Susan, do you want to take the roll?
Sure.
Yes.
Go for it. Here you go. If you want.
I have it. I'm just trying to start recording here.
Oh, okay.
Alan Apuram.
He expressed every expectation of arriving.
Okay.
I spoke to him earlier.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I have a question. Do we have any agendas?
I had
yes.
One. I printed mine out. We do have an agenda. Let's complete the roll, and then I'll read it off to you and everyone else in the room.
Teresa Allen.
Present.
Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Adriana Castaneda.
Here.
Marilena Castanello.
Castellanos.
Yes, from an
excuse.
Bill Collins.
Present.
Don Cook. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Anissa Faruqi.
Here.
Hank Lamb. Wayne Lark. Gerald Lynch. Susie Moreno.
Present.
Susan Radlin. Present. Nancy Severa Naratomi.
Saibar Naditomi. Present.
Deborah Shapto.
Here.
Ted Weiskel.
Here.
Kevin White. Venetia Patel Adams. Yes, you did ask for it. Venetia Patel Adams.
You're saying.
Tony Cox. Joseph Davis.
Present.
Mike Lewis.
Present.
George Ryder.
Here.
Cliff Smith.
Yes.
Wayne Bradley.
Hey Susan, I don't know if Tony is coming. I thought when I saw him at the station thing and I heard
Chair.
It is the luck.
And the arrival of Hank Lamb.
Hank Lamb. Yeah.
And I don't put anything past him.
Mr. Chair.
Just one moment.
The agenda says here we need somebody to do this.
Can I help you? You're saying you need some help? Is that what you said?
Do you have a point of information, a point of order?
Point of information.
Yeah, there are three.
Actually, it's a request.
For a request for information.
Yes. What is your question?
Who are the people who requested to request excuse absences?
So just pass them out? Just pass them out?
Okay. Kevin and who? There's somebody else?
Maria Lena Castellanos.
Thank you.
Is there any objection to approving the request for an excused absence from Kevin White? Hearing none, he has an excused absence. Is there any objection to the request for an excused absence? I'm answering his question, and then I'll get to yours.
No, that's why I won't object if. That's why my point of information is Maria Elena Castellanos.
That was the point I was going to make.
Excuse me, but this side talk is going to make it really difficult to hear what people are saying.
Kevin asked for tonight.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't hear it.
Okay. So we have.
Susan.
Let me just be sure I've got this right. That Kevin White is not here, but is requesting excused absence. Maria Elena is not eligible for excused absence. Alan is not here. Jerry Lynch is not here. Dwayne Bradley is not here. Tony Cox is not here. And Cliff Smith is not here. Dwayne, would you like to take that?
Dwayne? Yes, we have the Quorum, then, sorry, Pastor.
Yes, sir. 17 present.
So, I move that we excuse Kevin White.
I don't see that Kevin asked for tonight. He asked yes. last week.
You already did that.
No. He asked for tonight.
He asked for last week and tonight. I think he's just covering himself.
I already did that.
Was it approved?
He asked for objections. Oh. Nobody objected.
Okay.
So it was
and also move to excuse Dwayne Bradley because he's at the station for fun
There's
drive.
There's no need to excuse Dwayne Bradley. We've never excused him for the last 6 or 8 times he's been absent. So, I don't see any reason to do that. We have no precedent for it. And he is not a voting member. We are at the agenda.
Oh, but I would.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like it in the record that the manager's not here.
It is.
The record.
Oh, good.
That's why we call a roll.
Okay.
Okay. Approval of the agenda.
He should be here now.
Any objections?
I would like to add to the agenda the LSB report to the community. That could go. Right after Chair's report, or make it a part of Chair's report, 5B.
Any objections?
Which one again?
5B.
Move which?
5B. That would be the.
So move 5B to where, though? I mean, 5...
Move 5A, 5B.
But what would be 5B? I'm sorry.
LSB report.
Oh, okay.
Ted, where would that be coming from?
Why did you get
sick from this?
Where would that be coming from?
Me.
So, in effect, you're making this motion now. Is that what you're doing?
You're adding to it?
Yes. If it's a request to see my ugly face, I may.
Yes, sir.
I generally don't get those kind of requests.
I cannot.
Just the opposite.
Yes. Yeah,
don't want to see me or hear me. Not to request to see me. So let me move. I'm on it. Now. I do believe Mr. Joseph had a question.
Yeah, I was just wondering, he was inviting me to move from another space or add it to the agenda.
It is not on the agenda now to answer your question. So it is an addition to the agenda. Five B. So be it. Any other adjustments, additions, subtractions?
Yes. I would like to move forward item 11C, a new business, which is a motion to have a conversation about strategic planning. Specifically, it says the LSB will meet the committee of the whole for 40 minutes to discuss strategic ideas for enhancing listenership and revenue in a manner consistent with our mission. And I would like to move that up to right after the general manager is here, so after the Pacific National Board, after the chair's report.
Thank you.
Before the standing committee.
Okay. One information?
Yeah.
What is the purpose of being committee of the whole? Because obviously everybody here is not experts in Robert's rules. How is it going to be different than a normal discussion?
It's that there are no motions that can be made. Basically, if you want to take a vote, it's basically a straw vote. So it frees us up to not have the pressure of sort of parliamentary maneuvering. It frees us up to just have a conversation and without the pressure of having to make a decision right then and there. It's a chance to talk about ideas and get ideas out on the table.
So there's basically just no missions. The motion is just a 40-minute discussion about the topic.
Yeah. Okay. As I said, you can suggest things that we might do, but they have to be approved subsequently. So we can't actually do anything.
Okay.
So
what do you propose to move this item?
After your report.
Well, that would be 5C.
That would be...
5B is already taken.
What is 5B?
5B is the LSB report to the community.
Yeah, that's fine, right after that.
Any objections? Any objections? Hearing none. 11C.
Sir?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I object. I want to talk about the issue, but I think that we should have some reports from the final committee, some of those reports. We have the card that is really is not meeting. We are not following the... We are again in fault with the CPB. I think that we should take some action before that.
Well, in country, to address your concerns, why don't we go a step before we deal with the objection and say, on 6A, development, do you have a report to make?
No, not
okay,
really.
On 6B, budget and finance, do you have a report to make?
Yes.
Okay, on 6C, we generally read that. D, governance, do you have a report to make?
No.
Okay, outreach, do you have a report to make?
No.
Management Selection and Review Committee, do you have a report to make? Outreach?
Yeah.
You have a report to make?
No, not a report, but agenda item.
We should get you your agenda item right up in here right now before we leave that, but that's not what I'm trying to get to now.
Yes.
ARDC, do you have a report to make?
Very brief.
Management Selection and Review Committee, do you have a report to make? Well, the substance of that indicate that we only have 3 out of 7, 8 committees that have a report. Maybe the best thing to do is, if George would agree with this, the budget and finance report and the ARDC report, short of any other reports that I called out and not mentioning, why don't we have them all brought up together? Because the 45 minutes, we may not get to it if we actually use the 45 minutes up front. Why don't we do the standing committees and then do the 45? We only have 2 standing committees.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, we only have 2 standing committees.
The standing committee.
May I ask that we put after the community advisory board conversation, because we need to talk about the piece.
Okay, so what I'm proposing, and if I have any objections, obviously it won't fly, but what I'm proposing is that we have the 45 minutes at C. 40 minutes at C. However, we need to bring the 6A. No, we don't have a development, right? We need to bring 6B and 6A.
Yes. I would put it like 8, D. If we don't have anything in the middle, that's the normal thing. Why we need to...
AD, I think that would be appropriate because we'll get to it about the same time.
Exactly.
So we don't have a committee of inclusion report, right? We don't have an ad hoc committee on program council report. You're going to speak briefly on the community advisory report. So what it's looking like, after we get through recognitions, the PNB general manager's report, which we're not going to have, the chair's report, then we go with 2 committee reports, then we get to the 40 minutes. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right. Let's do it in that order. 8D? Yes.
Management Selection and Review Committee, the chair is on her way.
Okay, well, we'll give her deference if she has a report. And I think if she's on her way and she gets here during that period, that'd be ideal. But 8D now is the strategic planning.
11C.
It's 11C?
11C is now 8D.
Okay, 11C is now 8D. All right.
Mr. Chair?
AD.
Yes.
Just for clarification, the GM report, I know he's not here, but we should read it at least for the members of the public.
He published it. I mean,
well, only we get it, say.
Well, if you want to read it into the record for the public, I don't have
a problem. Take
if other members have objections to it, we'll deal with it then. Right now, though, I think we have a synergy, and I'm sure I'm going to mess it up later on. We have an agreement in principle. So, let's go ahead, and I think now we have an agreement with the agenda, and the agenda therefore approved with no objections, having so heard. Reading of the minutes. I believe there were
Yeah, I put them out.
We'll publish early.
Yesterday or day before. And everybody's got a copy of the minutes in front of them, too.
And those were the issues we had at the last meeting, because we had some, but we didn't want to approve them. And I need to be reminded of that regular session approval the next time we're in the regular session. But right now, we're dealing with the minutes that were published out on the email trail for you to review. There may be a few circulating for you right now.
If anyone doesn't have a copy, I have more.
Minutes can always be amended, corrected. So, we've gone through this before. We had a period of time of 4 years, no minutes filed because we kept sending them back for correction. Robert Rule said that's not necessarily the order of doing business. So please review the minutes. If you have a correction, let's put it on the record today and let's file. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with approving it, but with one amendment, I'd like to ask that the report out from the executive committee be put in here.
Yes. Okay.
Because it's just like a sentence or two.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
My name.
So it says George Wright of Broader Program Council Committee Elections. Actually, that was in my capacity as ad hoc committee on program council only person. So I think it should read that way.
Which way is that?
Say it one more time.
The ad hoc committee on program council member George Ryder brought up program council committee elections.
Ad hoc committee on program council.
Okay.
Wisconsin, maybe you had an issue of your name, you said?
Not yet, the last name.
Okay, you want correction.
Yeah.
You want your name correctly spelled. Okay.
The last one is a D.
All right.
Is a what?
Okay. Here we are. We can get those minutes posted now. KPFT recognitions. Let me start on this side of the table. Go ready?
I would like to thank Pat Greer of Ecology, who had a guest yesterday. Who offered an immediate challenge of $1,000. If people had donated $1,000, they would match it. And it continues, if you pledge online and mention Ecology, they will give an additional $50. It's those kinds of initiatives that I think make pledging fun and give it an immediacy. So I would recommend that all programmers find somebody that likes a challenge to do something like that.
Question about that? Was it a $1,000 match, or you had
match.
To put up $1,000?
No, match.
They would match up to $1,000 given. So there was a potential for making $2,000 in 1 hour. And there's still potential to make money. So
how well did it go? How much was raised during that 1 hour?
I know that Pat Greer said she raised at least $1,000.
She got it matched.
No, I'm sorry. They raised $500, and it was matched $500,
okay.
And they are continuing to give online. So,
excellent.
If you mention Ecology.
Pat Grill is the same one for that, the food business. Mm-hmm. Get the, what you call it?
And there is,
past, present, future. Good thing. Anyone else? Coming on around the corner. She's coming around the corner when she comes. All right.
I just like to recognize all the staff who've stepped up to help cover the things that Ernesto used to do since he's left as program director. I'm not sure exactly who all's doing what, but appreciate all of them. Shannon and Tony and Patrick and
Bobby.
Bobby, I know at least. Have been doing more.
Well, let me acknowledge and recognize the manager for preempting shows as untimely as it did, but at least I like to see KPFT involved in political programs, particularly if it's national, and maybe you'll get that buzz and see the value of it in local races as well, when it comes to mayor or many of these downline ballots like Sharon. But I think it's a great thing that we do that, and so I'll give him credit for the previous presidential campaign, and now this event that he did with the debate. I think we need to do more of that for the public. Yes, sir.
I was going to recommend that. I don't remember who it was last time I met too late, but Torchy or Sheila, she and I rode the buses up to Austin many times for the Texas State Employees Union to represent state workers. Also, she was a constant activist here at KPFT, and we're all miss her in both arenas. Great person.
Speaking of Torchy, I want to recognize the V's and whoever else was involved in putting on the remembrance for her at Mr. Gino's. It was a nice thing.
She was just over there the other
month. I answered phones with her, and 2 weeks later she was gone.
Yep.
In the last round.
That's how light life is. Yes.
If my understanding is correctly, Amy Goodman has forgiven our debt. And I'm not sure how many millions it is. Am I understanding correctly?
That's not correct.
Wouldn't that be? Well, might be enough people to give us a thank you, huh?
That'd be good.
Not any of it?
Yes. Well, we'll discuss that with the PNB report.
Oh, yeah, but, that's a good idea.
Right now, we give it recognition, all right?
I wish. But,
I misunderstood.
Okay.
I would also like to remind people that the Montrose Beer and Gun Club is meeting at Al's Ice House this Saturday from 12 to 6.
Al's or Alabama?
I just put Alabama. It's Alabama Ice House.
That's
okay.
The norm. Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's very exciting because that's a chance for KPFT listeners to socialize and bond and come up with ideas. And I think it's a great social activity.
When is it?
12 to 6 on Saturday the 22nd.
Beer or none? Don?
Yes. I would like to note the passing of Mr. Bob Carter.
Any other people?
Sure, thank you.
What?
I said I would like to note the passing of Mr. Bob Carter.
Oh,
really?
Who was not directly that often involved with KPFT, except as sort of a member of the community that we were aware of. And I've been trying to think of adjectives, and I can't think of good enough adjectives for Bob Carter. He was a really sweet, sweet person.
Integrity.
And activist for justice.
Yes, he was most. I knew him. He was a man of many parts. The parts I knew were with the Palestinian group on the bridges over the years.
Now, don't want to step on anyone's shoes, but being the spiritual person I am, I think there have been too many recognitions of those who get made great contributions to KPFT even to the end of their lives, not to at least give them a moment of silence and recognition of their contributions and sacrifices. Gone but not forgotten. Now, I would be remiss if I did not thank Obidike Kamau, former programmer, a lover of KPFT, who has been filling in for Cliff Smith from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. And he's no sprung chicken. And he gets up 3-4 hours later and go and do his duties at Texas Southern University as his director. So I think hats off to him. I don't know how he could be able to continue to do it, but he certainly does it with little fanfare and no thank you necessary. So let's go now back to the agenda. The Pacifica National Report. We have all board members present. Well, Venetia Patel. Okay. If she comes through, well, that's reserved time for her. But I generally go by the order of seniority on the board, or inverted seniority would be Vanessa first. Then it would be Wesley. Then it would be Bill. And then it would be Adrian. Wesley?
Elections are yet to be finalized. We are still having trouble with the stations paying their central service fees. We have to get this straightened as soon as possible. That's about all I can think of to report. Any measures? We'll take questions.
Smart man. Two words, but many questions, he said. He has got questions for Wesley specifically.
Can I suggest we hear from all of them?
Well, as I stated, does anyone have any questions for Wesley specifically, Phil Ray?
You're on the elections committee, right?
Yes.
And the company or the judge is saying that they won't count the votes because they're not paid?
That's not true, but to be honest,
in the court,
we had elections committee and audit committee at the same time, mm-hmm. and I went to the audit committee as opposed to the elections committee.
The chair.
It's one there.
Okay, well, maybe Bill will answer that question, but I guess my question is, which stations are not paying their central services fees?
KPFT is one of them.
Since May.
Since May.
And?
And, of course, BFW. And
KPFA and?
BAI.
WPFW and WBAI?
I think that WBAI is kind of, the one that they're not paying at all are TA, and I think that we have some problems with PFW. I think that A is trying to pay part, but T, since May, KPFT is not paying central service since May of this year. Mm-hmm. And KPFA is in the same situation.
Do you want me to clarify? Or?
Hmm?
No.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, if you want to.
The last we got several weeks ago was that WPFW owes more than all of them put together for this fiscal year. It's about $150,000. And KPFK owes the most from last year. It's about $250,000. But all of them are behind for this year in varying amounts. And it's putting a real squeeze on the national office, NPRA.
Any additional questions for Wesley?
Well, who is actually paying central services? At this time, who is actually paying central services?
K.
Yeah.
I believe that if you're K, BAI is paying some.
That's it. Okay. Next. All right, Bill, it's on you.
Okay. Well, like Les was saying, the elections. Lynn Serpy, the National Election Fire, hopes to get the results released by the 15th, which is what the bylaws timeline is, which is, I believe, Friday, 3 days from now. But, to answer your question, True Ballot, as far as you know, still has not been paid the $15,000 that Pacifica owed them on September 15th. So there's a question about whether they will tabulate the ballots without being paid, since that's past due. So they, Lynn is hoping to get the information, but I haven't heard any confirmation that they've been paid, so we don't know yet about when that will happen.
Have we taken the money that was donated in the ballots and cashed it?
I don't know. I'm sure it's been deposited, but I don't know what's...
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, okay. But the national office and PRA finances are still really critical, and I mean, there doesn't really seem to be a plan to pay for the national office expenses in PRA other than to ask the station to pay their central services, which of course they all should be doing. But the problem is that not necessarily that they don't want to, but the revenue is, not adequate to support all the expenses for all the stations. And even though WBI, I mean, like Adrian's right, they've been paying most of the central services this year, they've apparently been doing that by not paying their other bills. And that's why their phones were disconnected and other things like that. So, and they're still way behind on tower rent. And that debt keeps accumulating by about $500,000 a year. So we're in bad shape everywhere, and we still see no plans, no written plans that show how the stations are going to come up with more money to keep the national office alive and PRA alive. I believe KPFT is paying the PRA essential services, but not, as Adrian says, not the ones to the national office since about May. And WPFW has paid essentially nothing this year, or very little. Just remind everybody, the expenses that go to the national office pay for things like payroll processing, health insurance, all the benefits and stuff for all the for at least for KPFT and the East Coast stations. Settlements, legal settlements, director's insurance, which is actually has been canceled, so we don't have any right now. It would pay for that. Other insurance, and there's other required, fees also. Audits, if we had them. We stole a little bit of money to the auditor, attorney's fees, and there's a lot of different fees like that. And of course, the Pacific Radio Archives. And I guess you probably heard a few weeks ago, somebody found that there were some analog tapes from the archives that turned up on eBay, because apparently, at some time in the past, there's been some discrepancies about how long ago it was. The storage unit, some of them were in a storage unit offsite, and the bill hadn't been paid for a few months. I'm guessing they stopped paying it after Brian DeShazer left, but I'm not sure. And so apparently the owner of the storage unit, essentially auctioned off the contents, and so somebody got it, and so some of that stuff's appeared on eBay. So that kind of gives you an idea of how bad it is. And again, there's no plan that I've seen on how to pay the expenses, so I'm really worried.
Nothing from national.
Well, no. Wishful thinking. And none of the station budgets are ready to even be considered by the PNB.
Including ours?
Right.
None
of them are.
Adriana?
Well,
you just asked about elections. We have a huge problem with elections. Mm-hmm. Because a bunch of these things need to be investigated. But it's really strange that KPFT have quorum. The bylaws said that the only reason that you can extend an election is through lack of quorum. KPFT made quorum 3 days before September 3rd. Mm-hmm. But the NES decided to extend that in October 7th. The NES is she's ill. I don't know how many times, but really little. She met with selection committee. She's never ready to meet with the EMB. And more than that, what really worries me the most is that we have, not only from the beginning, a bunch of money coming from California, we have a bunch of people that are California members that decided in the last minute that they want to vote in KPFT elections. Like always, no list of listeners or staff members, you know that, all of us know that, when it's obligation for the national, for every station to have the list of listeners and staff totally ready and clean every year, mm-hmm. we don't have it. Nobody has it. We overburden our local election supervisors trying to clean a list, and in the last minutes, we don't know the numbers yet. We need the reports before all of this. But I worry because a small station like KPFT mm-hmm. can be taken over by a few votes, because we don't have so many listeners, with a few votes from other stations. And the worst part, the National Election Supervisor said that she will clean. It is because she's the only one that have the membership from every station, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, every
the local station supervisor can their own. She was supposed to put everything together, and then if somebody is asking, you can, like a member, our bylaw said that you are allowed to vote once. If, but you can choose. If you contribute to KPFT and another station, you will choose which one you want to vote. But you cannot vote in more than once. The only way that you can prevent that is if the list are the clear list and the people know. Because in the last minutes, somebody said, oh, I want to vote. Well, but this person is not... did you vote in the other station? People can tell you yes or no, but you don't have a way to control that. We don't know. We need to go through all of that. We need to make a serious investigation and all of that. That is happening. We have, by the first time, KPFT and KPFK are the only two stations that will not have the option like we always have. We have a PIN number in our ballots, right? And that PIN number, when the ballots are there, you can recognize your own PIN ballot. To your own ballot because of the PIN number, and you know if your vote is there. Well, KPFK and KPFT are the only two ones that they mess up, and the PIN is not in that ballot. It means it's not a way for any of us to check if our ballot is there or not.
Sounds like a mess.
I didn't hire the NES. Yeah,
I didn't know.
The NES was the only person that applied. One person applied to be there. And more, no, but it's more serious than that. You see the problems in all the stations. The lists are not clean. The GMs are not. It's the GM's obligation to have those lists clean. They are not. You saw what happened. Bob is permanently on that issue. We have a staff that are not in the list, and some that are in the list that are not staff anymore. I really worry about the way that this is being handled. I understand that people can be ill, but if you are ill and you cannot perform your duties, somebody has to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's something in our bylaw that is the problem. But once that you hire a national election supervisor, you can tell her things, but it's up to her, whatever happened from there. And that is a big problem to the whole foundation. We cannot get her answer questions, regular questions. She answered to somebody that she thinks that maybe those people will be more influential, or they can talk to other people,
right,
but she doesn't answer.
Yes, sir.
A couple of questions.
Yes.
The staff list has always been a problem throughout the network. I agree with you.
It's an easy solution.
And,
can you talk a little louder?
The staff list has always been a problem, right, not just here, but throughout the network. I thought, however, that the local election supervisor said that she got a clean list from Robin for the listener election at the last meeting. She stood up and said that.
She explained very clearly, and she called back to the general manager that she was the one that needed to clean. She was working.
Whatever. She said she had a clean list, and this was before the close of the election. So my question is, why was the election extended? Did the staff election not meet quorum?
Exactly.
And so it was extended.
We don't know.
Oh, that's not quorum.
It was extended for both. Is that right?
Yes, and we don't know. We know that we have quorum for listeners. That is another problem. We don't have the numbers for September 30. That was the day that the election supposedly closed. We don't have those numbers.
So it could have been that the staff election. How do we know that the listener election made quorum?
Yes.
How do we know that?
Well, because the people from True Ballot say so.
They said so. Oh, okay. And, but they so.
They gave those numbers from September 27th.
Okay.
And my question is, how could that be? Who have the authority to violate openly our bylaws? The bylaws said the only reason that you stand is if you don't have quorum. One that you reach quorum, and if 3 days before you have quorum, why keep open?
Well, I guess then the question is, if you don't have quorum in one and you have quorum in the other, do you extend them both where you just extend one. But I don't, frankly, I don't know what the bylaws say about that.
Never was done like that. The only one that could close it is the one that doesn't reach full.
Isn't it true that in the last meeting, the LES said that she got the list from management and she cleaned the list and submitted it with about 5,600 people?
Yes.
So we do have a list.
No, no, no. That's not the question. The staff, she said that she didn't have an option because she doesn't have any way more than people complaining that they were or were not on that.
Okay. Well, she have a list,
for example,
the staff
of a staff that have all the management that
that's
are not supposed to vote.
Okay, we have expended our time beyond 5 minutes on this. Been pretty lenient. So,
can I move to extend because I just want to correct some of the information?
I second.
Clarify the motion, please.
Extend 5 minutes for the
PMA report. Hearing none. 5 minutes.
Okay. The NES did mention in the last elections committee meeting that the reason for extending at some of the stations, I think, pretty sure KPFT was one of them, was because. Well, I mean, Adrian's right. If you don't achieve quorum, you have to extend. But the bylaws are also clear that everybody's entitled to vote should be able to vote. And there were some issues about some people's eligibility and whether they were staff or listener, so they couldn't vote until they got a ballot, and they couldn't get a ballot until that was resolved.
A lot of ballots didn't go.
Well, that was an issue. And I mean, you're right. There were a lot of there were a lot of problems with the staff lists and member lists at every station. And I don't know why the staff list changed so much between what was posted earlier and what was posted later. One thing the NES also mentioned is that there were, and not just here at some of the other stations, there were complaints filed from people not receiving ballots, but for other people. So it wasn't the people who didn't get them who were complaining. A lot of somebody else would complain, and then she didn't get the contact information, so she couldn't contact the people. Even just things like, how do I send these people a ballot? So it's kind of peculiar that these people weren't concerned enough to contact their LES directly or the NES to say I didn't get a ballot, but yet somebody else was saying they didn't get a ballot. At least that's what the NES told us. So that plus, again, her being ill, that was true. That slowed things down, and there were two LESs that quit during the process.
I know y'all going back and forth saying what the LES said, but as chair, let me point out to you what the LES said from my ears perspective, that it was not her job to clean the list. That the list was to be presented to her as clean. It was also brought from this position of board members that the board requested the general manager clean the list 2 months before the election, and it wasn't done. So let's be clear. The LES stood over there and said she did not receive a clean list, that it was not her job to clean the list. She further pointed out that because of the impropriety she felt was going on with members of other stations requesting ballots and voting when the bylaws clearly stated you needed to decide which you didn't have a right to vote in 5 stations.
I'm not arguing with this.
So, I want the public and I want the members to be clear because there was some misstatements what the NES said last week. The NES was very clear that she thought that the LES was very clear. She thought there was some improprieties that she could not reconcile because she did not have all the lists of the stations. Only the NES has that. On record, there are a plethora of improprieties that have gone on with this election, including the absence and AWOL of the National Election Supervisor to deal with the recurring issues that were going on. So I want the record to reflect this is the second election I've been involved in that there have been improprieties to skew an election toward another side. And we're going to prove it this time. Go ahead. Next person.
I want to, if somebody wants to know anything else about finance, what other question? Because I heard some questions. She says the CFO resigned. He got a better job or some other job.
Who's she?
The CFO.
CFO. Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, I think that the problem is more serious than that. The reality through the foundation is not that we are so close. We talked in the last LSP meeting, and I showed to all of you some of the numbers. It's not true that the debt is so terrible. The problem is that the stations, the problem is how to manage stations. We have, like I said,
May 31st, I need to use my director's inspection rights, fight for those, to get the information from the stations. Because the units have, some of them have accounts, bank accounts, that nobody knows who opened it. Nobody knows who can change the signatures, you know. And like I said, in May 31st, one of the stations has more than $250,000 in one of the accounts. One of the accounts. And that station is still owing Central Services.
Which station?
KPFA. And have at May 31st, one of the accounts was $263,000.
Wow.
But the answer was, and we have, all of us have the emails, all the PNB members, they told that they didn't want, they are asking about, you know, they have problem with the archives. They don't think that they should pay for the archives. Like the stations are making decisions that doesn't belong to them, right? And what would this being produced is a cash flow problem. KPFT doesn't pay, like I said, since May, doesn't pay Central Services. KPFA is not doing it. Some of the stations don't have the money, but some of them have the money and said, well, we need to pay in May. They said, we need to pay August and September salaries, and they cut short their fund drives because they have money for their salaries, but they don't pay Central Services. And then we asked... Let me just finish this.
Well, you're
then
using up all the time.
You should let other people
you're
talk.
You're the only one talking.
Well, but I'm
for a long time now.
Well, she is the only PNB officer that wants to talk. So
I'm glad.
Don't complain about time. I've got it written down here. Time has been spent rather equitably. Would you finish the statement and then I'll
I just Thank have you. A point of order. When you say they didn't do this and they didn't do this, I'd like you to be clear about
units. I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'd like to know, but I'd like to know. I'd like to hear which unit.
Yes. Some of the units of the five station and the Pacifica radio archives, some of them don't have the money. But some of them have the money, but they are keeping it for other purposes.
And that's
because
KPFA.
Well,
in this case, and the same happened with me at some point in time. You know, they say that it's a waste of money, and then we keep asking the national office to do a bunch of things and to pay a bunch of things. You know, I don't know if I can explain. The problem is creating a cash flow problem. And it's happened.
Okay. As I understand it from working in California nonprofits for years, if a bank account is opened as a nonprofit and uses the number of Pacifica, those banks are required to report to that nonprofit at the end of every year, probably monthly. I'm not certain about the monthly part because I didn't do the bookkeeping. But they are required to turn those in to the nonprofit that number belongs to, and not just back to the station manager or whoever does that.
And they gave that number?
I don't know that they gave that number
there
or not. Well, it's not there you go. We don't know. We need to find out.
How do you know?
Would it indicate that we don't have control?
The PNB hadn't had control over it for years.
Well, I mean, the big problem you get all the stations is they're not having enough revenue to support their expenses, including the central services. And KPFA, the Quincy McCoy announced several months ago, expected to have to lay off some people because they're running about a $200,000 deficit for FY16. I think that's still going on, and they're in negotiations with the union there. KPFK still owes about $250,000 from last year's central services, although they're current or approximately current this year. But they also are going to have to pay somewhere around $200,000 to their employees because of they lost the arbitration in the dispute over the cutbacks and layoffs last year. And the PNB still has not received the final report on that. We still have not seen it, so we don't even know exactly how much it is. But, you know, the rumors is it's going to be around $200,000. And so even though they're sitting on some money, you know, they do have some expenses coming up. But, I mean, you're right, technically they have money in the bank account, but they also have to make payroll. All the stations need to make payroll. But, you know, the national office, I don't know how they're going to continue to keep going if they don't get central services. And same thing for PRA, the Pacific Authority Archives. It's real serious. And there's no plan, really, to come up with the money.
Okay. 1 minute, 2 minutes left. Go ahead.
Has the PNB scheduled an extra meeting or two or three to get to the bottom of this and have come up with a plan that's out there going to deal with
well,
it?
Well, you know, some of us had two special meetings in the summer that most of the PNB decided not to attend to deal with the financial issues. And we did come up with some recommendations, but we didn't have quorum, so we couldn't approve anything.
All right.
I've shared the list of suggestions that, you know, we've had with all of you. So if any of you don't have it, I'll let me know and I'll send you an email with it.
Can we suspend this because you say...
Well, actually, we're not going to suspend. We're out of the PNB, and we're going into the public comments. We're getting a list of those who want to speak now, and we will apportion that time appropriately. We want to prepare ourselves for the first speaker in the next 40 seconds. And... for the next 30 minutes, we'll be hearing from the public. So now, according to my clock, it's still 7:59. Once we get the list, we'll go with or if at least Ted tell me who's the first one on the list, we'll go ahead and allow them to start to speak.
Who's the first one in the list?
Rick. So we need to see. Who was here to do public comment? Are you gentlemen?
Yeah,
Logan?
I am.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, so we've got... one, two, three.
I just
four.
Want to know the first person on the list. Rick. Okay, Rick, here's you have at least 5 minutes if you want to take it.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present for you Robin Gardner? Yes.
All right. So as you all know, I'd probably like to ask some questions, but I'm not really allowed to do that. So I will try to keep it to comments. When I was prompting someone to ask Adriana about the CFO, knowing that he has left, I also believe I read somewhere where they brought someone in to consult on an interim basis that has participated in the finances of Pacifica financially previously. And we haven't had our finances or audits together for years and years and years. So I would discourage consulting, hiring, or working with any people that we've had in the past. That just seems strange to me. With regard to the election and duplicate ballots or people voting more than once, it was my understanding because I was told that I had gotten 3 pledges from California for $25. Which I found unusual, so I said to Robin, I'm like, hey, I think these are going to the wrong show because I don't know anybody in California, and I don't know any fans I have in California. And so I learned that there were people on the West Coast who were going to become members to where they could vote in the KPFT election. So I questioned that, and I was told that the elections, that when the voting comes down, I don't know, it was supposed to be on the, after the voting came down or before the voting, but that if they saw that there was a duplicate vote, then they would get in contact with the person who had done the double vote and make them choose which signal area they wanted to vote in. Frank, my guess would be, I don't know this for sure, but my guess would be that these lists have never been accurate. That would be my guess, that they've never been accurate. And I say that because I work in the membership department, and I see how duplicate, and not purposely, but, you know, Lydia and I were pretty conscientious about, for example, like if we got a pledge, and we saw that it could possibly... I would search by phone number always, and then if I pulled up by phone number, if I was questioning something, if I saw more than one last name and a name that might be similar but the address is different, I go to the time to fix that right then and there. If KPFT, I mean, I'm sure Robin did it if she said she did. But I guess what I'm saying is I could probably imagine that it's just still not good, not for lack of trying, but just depending on how closely you look and how thorough someone's going to be. With regards to the staff election, I would recommend that in the future, I think that there should be one contact person for every program. In other words, that's the liaison between management and that show. That programmer or producer should weigh in advance, send in a list of the people on their show. And I know that some programmers probably might not take care of, for example, at the prison show. I don't know who the head prison show guy is, but whoever that person is, they should, especially like the prison show, since there are so many volunteers, some of them are just up there hanging out socializing because they're a community. Some of them are actually putting in hours on production. And so it would be up to the person who runs that show to figure that out and turn in who they figure staff is. And then that would be approved by the director. I'm very concerned about the finances at KPFT and Pacifica. I'm not real thrilled or impressed with what I've seen so far, but that doesn't mean that I'm included in discussions. But I'm not so sure that some of the best decisions have been being made since Work's departure and what they're doing with that time. And I really do hope that whatever committee or programming council or whatever will try very hard to have a presence in working with Dwayne, because I think he's going to need the help. I'm especially worried about it because we don't have a program director. For example, I know my show does very well in Fund Drive. I typically bring in quite a bit. I'm not an A programmer. I call me a B programmer. And when it comes to B programmers, in terms of dollars, I'd say I'm like maybe number two or number three. But I have not been asked to do a Wide Open Spaces. I know some other programmers who have not been asked to do Wide Open Spaces. The guy on Rockin' Friday rocks what I do. Last week, he did $250. I don't know who he is. I offered, but I didn't get taken up on that. Gee, I wonder why. what else? Is my 5 minutes up?
Dwayne.
Say again? Is my 5 minutes up?
Actually, because Mr. Potter gave you his time, you can continue.
Okay. All right. I'm very sincere, everyone. If you want to do an event for KPFT or have any type of party or thank you, if you guys want to take some, you know, initiative to thank the community, just however you think you might be able to contribute to, like, build the community and that kind of thing, I will be happy to volunteer, not as an employee, but I will help you if you want to do something. So I'm up for big things. I'm up for little things. I think that I'm very concerned as a staff member. I know that we're gonna have to cut the staff. There's no other place to cut from. I hope that management will very much keep the staff in the loop on that. So far, they have not ever counseled us on really they've told us that we're in trouble, but. Okay, y'all go ahead. I think it's something else, and there's time left over. I'll say it.
All right.